Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
50 years, Aidan. Tell me how it feels.
I've been trying to explain to my kids, aged 12 and 10, that this may be the first for them, but it's also the first for their 50-year-old dad. And I don't think they quite fully appreciate it. You know, I had to explain similar things about England reaching finals in recent years as well, and how this just doesn't happen. And now this. Oh, my God. I mean, the mere fact we scored a goal, I was happy with that. But bloody hell. Oh.
Outstanding.
What can I say?
Fully deserved, Aidan. Better team by a long shot.
Well, that's the incredible thing. That is absolutely true on the day, which is wonderful. It was utterly deserved. I mean, it was so deserved that it makes you nervous that it wasn't going to work out during the first half in particular. Liverpool were, you know, nowhere. They didn't really have any threat.
Nope.
And yet we hadn't created anything that concrete, really, up until the point that that Burns scored. But I think that was, we'll get into it in more depth, perhaps, but it was just desserts for how they'd played. We said the other night, didn't we, that after 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, we'd be able to tell, are Newcastle really on it or not?
Yep.
Because when they're on it, they're really good. And when they're not on it, they're awful. And they were on it. And it was beautiful.
Absolutely. I mean, Jamie Carragher and Jamie Redknapp were saying in the tunnel before the kickoff just how hyped, just how pumped the Newcastle players were. And I think the sight of Gillinson celebrating every single tackle he made with a roar was kind of like from the opposing end, albeit watching on television. If you're seeing that type of thing, you know that you've got your work cut out to be able to kind of like.
I love the way that Neville described it when Joe Linton blocked a third goal bound effort when he said, "Oh, he's got his hat trick now!" beautiful.
Yes, definitely the deserved winners, Aidan, and that's it. I mean, what is impressive is that even in conceding a goal 4 minutes into injury time with another 7 minutes to play,
oh God,
you managed to avoid the well-worn path of doing things in a very Newcastle kind of way.
When it was first disallowed, Chiesa's goal, it was like, oh, thank God for that. And then, obviously, they showed it from the side. It's like, bloody hell, he's a mile onside. There's no problem. Then they even checked for a foul, didn't they? Like, no, that's not a foul, is it? That's going to be fine. Oh, God, here we go. We've got, what, 6-7 minutes still? Because that whole thing took 3 minutes, which was ridiculous because he was so far onside. It was clear with the naked eye. Just the sheer amount of time extra. But they managed it well, and that was wonderful to see. Even when Wilson was breaking away on the left late on, and we're just shouting at the telly, take it to the corner, slow down, slow down. And they did it so, so well. Oh, my God, what can I say? But Dan Byrne, what a guy. Big Dan Byrne. Oh.
Hey, Showtime! You never, ever beat them!
Deserved man of the match. I think he was, he missed nothing. He was immense at the back, towering over everybody as he does. And his goal, well, what a thing of beauty. I think McAllister will be having nightmares about having to mark him. Whose decision was that? I mean, goodness me. Is he your tallest player? Deary me. That was a poor choice. But I guess he went for the, I'll just leave him alone approach for that goal. And that didn't go so well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was very much he could have done with some kind of platform boot, like a plane or something like that. Or so, yeah, it was a bit of a physical mismatch, shall we say.
They tried Van Dijk on him a little earlier when he'd won one at the back as well, when he'd headed it back across. And was that the one where Guimaraes tried to flick it on and it went straight to Kelleher? And I guess Van Dijk probably is the tallest option that was there. and Byrne had towered above him. McAllister had no chance, though. That was funny and beautiful. But I did love the way they were talking afterwards about how all these things they'd practiced in training and this had never come off. It never worked. And then, hey, in the game, beautiful.
Outstanding. I mean, that's the thing for me. I mean, what's been key to Liverpool's success this season is that there's always been someone that's stepped up in midfield and taken the initiative. And they've done it on a kind of rotation system, basically. We've had a kind of like, you know, months where Gravenberch's kind of like being the man to take the games by the scruff of the neck. Then he's kind of like had a bit of a, you know, not an off time, but he's eased off. And then Szoboszlai's come through and had a great run. And then it's been like, you know, in between probably McAllister as well. Even for a little bit, Curtis Jones. Yeah, what was telling today was that not one of them managed to step up and take a grip on that midfield today. And that's been very rare for Liverpool this season. That's been the key to Newcastle's success today.
That midfield was immense. It was superb. The three of them, absolutely magnificent.
They were. They really were. No, didn't give us any time on the ball. That was where it was won and lost for me.
Yeah, they were absolutely immense. It was magnificent. So many times when the balls came forward and there was a Newcastle player either getting there first and getting there quicker or at least putting off the Liverpool player to some extent, that the flow was a little bit interrupted. And yeah, Liverpool couldn't get their usual rhythm, couldn't get going. You know, I guess there's the question of how much the Champions League game took out of them and how much that played a part. But hey, I don't care, really.
No, I wouldn't use midweek as an excuse in any way, shape or form. It was the Tuesday night, so you've got Tuesday to Sunday there. You know, plenty of time in which to recover from, you know, the exertions of Tuesday night. That's nothing to do with the game against PSG and being, you know, put through 120 minutes in midweek. That's got absolutely nothing to do with today's performance and the outcome. That is simply Newcastle. I think Newcastle have learned their lessons from 2 years ago. Eddie Howard said weeks ago, you know, we're coming at it from a different direction than we did. You know, so it was very much that kind of like, we've trod this path before. Learn from the mistakes, and they've implemented it. They've carried it out to the letter today, and fully deserve victory.
Yeah, I mean that's been a big theme in the build up is trying to do it differently the last time. I think emotion took over far too much before. I guess it's understandable to some extent. That was our first final in 23 years at the time, so yeah, understandable to some extent. But, you know, if things go wrong, what have you got to do? You've got to learn lessons. You've got to try and adapt and do things differently. And, oh, wow, they've certainly done that. And this, you know, it has to be said, this was against a far higher calibre of opposition than that was 2 years ago. Okay, Liverpool were not at their best today by any stretch, but they weren't allowed to be at their best. And they are, without question, a far better team than that Manchester United was. And at that time, Newcastle, I suppose they'd hit a rough patch of form, but, you know, they were flying slightly higher in the league than they are currently. It's been a bit iffy lately. And yet when we're really on it, we are really on it. And it was just incredible today. I honestly, it doesn't feel real because, see, you expect victories from time to time. You get finals regularly and you win some, you lose some. You know, you know that another final will be along before long and you'll get another trophy. You know you're getting another trophy in a few weeks. For us, getting to a final usually means disappointment. It usually means great hype and expectation and it means disappointment. Usually the disappointment comes far earlier. for it actually have gone this way, I could scarcely imagine it. You have thoughts, you have like hopes, you have little images that come to mind of thinking, well, what if it goes like this? What if this happens? Or I can see them lifting the trophy. I can picture it. I didn't quite picture the fact that all three of the designated club captains would lift it together, but that was a beautiful thing. And yet, for it to actually happen, even when we'd gone 2-0 up, I still didn't dare to hope it was actually going to happen because we're Newcastle. This isn't what we do. We're not serial winners. We are not even occasional winners. We are perennial losers, let's be honest. We're used to disappointment. We're used to despair. We're more used to not even coming close. So to have had this and to then actually go and win it, oh my God. it defies belief. It really does. It really does. But wow, it won't sink in for a while. Like you said the other night, you know, if Liverpool had won, you'd be back to normal within a day or two, and the season would carry on. For us now, I don't think anyone really cares. I'm sure we'd like to carry on and win games and so on, but everything will have this little glow behind it that we've actually won something. We talked the other night about teams who've won a trophy since Newcastle. I've got another list here, Stephen. Here is teams who've won a trophy since us. Oh, blank.
You beat me. I was going to put that very question to you. I was going to put that very, very question to you. All of that kind of like Oxford United, Luton Town, Portsmouth, all of that type of stuff. Even Middlesbrough. God forsaken Middlesbrough. Sorry, Rob Fletcher, but you did say you were going to listen to this. Sunderland had won something since you last won something. This is all gone, Aidan. This is a whole new day, a whole new dawn, and a blank sheet of paper.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, indeed. It really is. 56 years since a major trophy, 70 years since a domestic trophy that ended today. Today. I just cannot believe it. Absolutely unbelievable. I won't believe it for some time yet.
Outstanding, outstanding. I'd said the other day myself is that if we were playing anyone else, I'd have been willing to run. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we all
very
like
magnanimous, Stephen.
That ambiguity about ownership and all that, but you see past that. You know, it's a football club is its supporters, it's its community, it's where it's grounded. You know, it's the history of the team. That's what a football club's all about. And Newcastle, this has been a long time in coming, way too long in coming. And yeah, you know, all I can say is congratulations on that front. But that spine throughout, Pope saved that one from Curtis Jones. So he did everything he needed to do. Dan Byrne, Gillinton, just into absolutely everything. And not fully fit, Alexander Isak, you know, doing Isak things up front, including the what turned out to be the winning goal. You know, and that's where, you know, Liverpool just didn't match up today. You know, I mean, Kelleher didn't do much wrong. There's nothing he can do about the two goals. Made at least one very, very good save. Yeah, Konate had a nightmare of a time. You know, in that game, the midfield just didn't get to grips with it, and that meant that the front three were, you know, a lot of, basically kind of like starved of a supply. Really, Newcastle did, a stunning job on us today. You know, and within that, I'd just say as well, like your exuberance within this victory is just absolutely understandable. Totally understandable. But I mean, what I would say as well is just drink as much of it in as you can, because I mean, from a Liverpool supporting perspective, it tends to go on, yes, we've won things and things and things, but you see those defined changes of era and the, you know, the tectonic plates from one era or team from another, and it's always that first success that will glow brighter than anything else that comes along. Beyond that, you know, it's like, you know, we've had these Klopp era successes, but it's that Champions League win against, you know, in Madrid. It'll always be the one that glowed that little bit more, because it was that essentially that first one of that era. And that's what you'll have with Newcastle. You could go, you know, we had a little bit of a discussion the other night, or I put the question to you and you didn't want to answer to, you know, just where Newcastle could go beyond that first success. And, you know, you've won one, the players will have got a taste for it. You're going to be kind of like hunting for more now, but this will be the one that you'll look back on and say, yeah, that's the one. You know, so, you know, you could go on and win Premier Leagues, Champions Leagues. That'll be, I know Man United fans of kind of like the Ferguson era, and say that the FA Cup in 1990, the Cup Winners Cup in 91, no matter what followed that, you know, Premier League titles, a treble, you know, Champions League and all that, that they are the ones that they look back on with the greater fondness, because it's just how it felt that first time around.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, I can't even believe this one's happened. So the thought of more to follow at some point seems ridiculous. I'm sure it won't be 70 years since another domestic one. That's one thing I think is likely. That would be something. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. The first is special. It's like breaking through a glass ceiling or breaking away from the shackles that have held us back. I wonder if Mike Ashley was watching somewhere and what his thoughts on it all were when he didn't want to attempt to win a cup.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Aidan. Remember that great big huge novelty size Sports Direct cup I've got.
Is it in the bin now?
I'm going to post it to you so you can do a. I'm going to post it to you so you can do a ritual smashing of it. How about that? Colin, that's my gift to you. Okay, that's going to be my gift to you.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's no less than it deserves. Yeah, I kind of think back in terms of first wins or changing eras. The sort of example that leaps to my mind is of Chelsea under Mourinho when they won their first trophy, which is League Cup, and I guess City similar. I think was that their first, or was that the first for Guardiola? I'm not sure, but either way, certainly it was the case for Mourinho at Chelsea that they hadn't had to wait quite as long as us. Let's be honest, but the fact that they that new era got off to a winning start with a first trophy, and it was the League Cup. It didn't matter to anybody that it was the League Cup, that it wasn't the Premier League, it wasn't the FA Cup, it wasn't something in Europe. It was the League Cup, but it was a first, and it's huge. And for Newcastle United, this means everything. It could be the Champions League, Premier League, and World Cup all rolled into one. But it's a Carabao Cup. But hey, God, who cares? It's a trophy, and absolutely. You know, it's with the way the league is so congested in our position, not for you obviously, but for those of us in the pack behind, it's so congested that you could easily miss out on Europe via the league just with one or two bad results, but Newcastle don't have to worry about that now. As a minimum, we're in the Conference League, and as my son said to me, I actually don't mind if we just end up in the Conference League because we might win it. Interesting.
Fair. I didn't realize. Is that what they've done with the League Cup? It's the Conference
League. Yes. Yeah.
I'm against that as well. I'm against the that should be Europa League that you get in there for that. But yeah, this was. You know, I've posted on Twitter a little bit ago just before we were recording about, you know, A, it was deserved victory today without a shadow of a doubt. But again, kind of like pointing out just who you went through to get there on the way to Wembley itself. Give us that run to glory, Aidan, as it is now.
Well, that run to glory, oh my God. Oh, and on that point, I loved the way that the players had to walk down the line of the teams they'd beaten in the tunnel on the way out onto the pitch at the start. I mean, that was a nice touch. I like that. Okay, so Newcastle have won away at Nottingham Forest. Now, this is before we all realised just how good Nottingham Forest were. But yes, a draw away at Forest and then a penalty shootout victory with Sean Longstaff, the hero, which was lovely. That was followed by very dramatic situation against AFC Wimbledon, which was supposed to be an away tie. But incredible, bizarre storms in London and a pitch turning into a golf course with a bunker. Put paid to that, and so within a few days it had to be reversed back to St James's, and I think the majority of the receipts went to AFC Wimbledon as if it was their home game, which was nice, and plus other financial offerings to help with their pitch and all of that kind of thing. But it was a decidedly iffy 1-0 victory. But hey, it all counts. They seem to do better against the bigger teams. So after that it was Chelsea at home. Another victory followed by Brentford and another victory. And then it was Arsenal, of course, over two legs in the quarterfinal. Arsenal, who are second in the league, of course, were pushing Liverpool, not anymore. But at the time, they certainly were. And it was a 2-0 away victory and a 2-0 home victory. So, you know, there was no fluke about getting past them. And then we have Liverpool. So, yes, as I mentioned the other night, of the teams above us currently as we speak right now in the league, well, actually, I have no idea what happened in the league this weekend, whether we're still sixth or not, I don't know or care. But as the weekend began, we were sixth anyway. And the teams above us, we have beaten Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, Liverpool and Arsenal. So that only, if only we'd had the chance to play Man City, we'd have knocked them out as well.
Excellent, excellent. The right synopsis as well. I think we can call them Crisis Club Manchester City as well at this point.
But I mean, it's a magnificent thing, and you can argue all you like about which teams at which points made changes. I know Brentford certainly did, which was odd, actually, really, considering it was a chance for them to push for something. And Chelsea may well have done as well. But, you know, to have come through so many opponents who are higher ranked than you makes it really quite sweet. Sometimes teams get all the way to a final, and sometimes the final itself, as we mentioned the other day, without having to play somebody big, or with maybe only having one team of great significance to beat on the way. We've had to beat quite a few, and that is absolutely superb. Crikey. Think of it like that, it's even better.
It is a stunning run. To do it the hard way as well is what's impressive as well. Along that run gives us your, I don't know, final included obviously, but your big standout heroes of the run, the ones who interjected and scored the crucial goals or made the crucial saves and the you know, the blocks and all that, the moments along the run that you look back to in years to come and say, that was where, you know, these were the forks in the road.
Well, like I say, I mentioned Sean Longstaff in the penalty shootout. He's someone who comes in for a fair bit of criticism from time to time, but he certainly had his moment then, and a local boy, of course. The game against Wimbledon was an odd one because we got down to our third choice keeper. Pope was out at the time, I think, or was just not within the squad. I think he was probably injured. Dubravka was playing, but then got hurt. And so that saw the one and only appearance for Newcastle United of Odysseas Vlachodimos. Vlachodimos and Pliers, as of course he should be known. He played the second half of that game against Wimbledon, and that is his only appearance, but he was up there getting his medal. He's taken a part in the Carabao Cup, so why not? And that was an odd one. I think he only had one save to make, but that was bizarre. I think probably the other standout things for me are the across the semi-final. I think he's had criticism since for missing out on the final through his own fault, but I think Anthony Gordon was superb across those semi-finals. He scored in both legs, and I think he was a star of both of those games. And so, yes, I joked about his boyhood club allegiances when we spoke the other day. But to see him celebrating and to see during the celebrations, Bruno Guimaraes was making sure that Gordon was fully acknowledged for his part in it all. And I think that was nice to see. And I think that was really good. But I think across the board, because we have a smallish first team squad, can't rotate hugely because the quality drops off quite quickly. And yet we've had to make changes because of injuries, people missing out. There's been very limited squad rotation, even in the Carabao Cup. There has been some, of course. You know, there were rafter changes for Wimbledon. There were a few in some of the other games, but nothing hugely significant. And yet when called upon, those who've had to come in and replace, I think of people like Emil Kraft, who had a small part to play today, but, you know, on occasions, whenever he's had to play, he's never let Newcastle down. It's people like that that you kind of think, well, this is a really great moment for, because they'll never get the headlines, they'll never get the glory, but they've contributed and they've been part of it. I think people like Willock, who's had ups and downs as well, to get his part in the final, and for Callum Wilson too. He was clearly not match fit, sharp or anything like that. His one snapshot that went a mile over or wide of the goal or both kind of laid that bare, but it's nice for him, especially when there's a few of these players who probably won't be with Newcastle after this season. I'm thinking of Kieran Trippier in that regard as well, who may well be off to pastures new if rumours to be believed. And Wilson falls into that category as well. You know, people who've had their time have been superb for the club across a number of years. Of course, Wilson joined several years before takeovers. It's really, really good that they've got to play an active part, not just being a bit part, but an active role in this victory, not just today, but in the games before. But yes, if I could pick anything out from people who missed out on this final day, it would be Gordon in the semi-final. I think he was superb across both legs.
Part of him missing out on this means that he will have there is a bonus for him, is that he will be more determined than probably anyone else in that squad to make sure that there is another day like that he can be involved in. You know, that you do get that kind of secondary drive and force. So, you know, when you get to within touching distance of a final, he will be the most determined one to get you there again.
Yeah, maybe so, hopefully. And when he missed out last time because he'd only just signed and had already been playing for Everton in the competition. So he got to sit and watch that from the bench as well as a Newcastle player, unable to play. And same for him again. So it's disappointing on a personal level for him. But yeah, I hope that's right. And that, of course, implies that he's still going to be playing for Newcastle going forward, which would be good. I think a victory, an actual trophy victory for Newcastle United, European qualification that comes with it. But, you know, beyond that, the mere fact that this has now shown that people can, okay, it's the Carabao Cup, but they can achieve at this club, which isn't something that you could have said before. It's now clear that you can win with this club. And okay, we're quite a long way behind those at the top of the Premier League. But there are other ways to fulfill and win trophies. And so this is a nice notice to some of these players who may well get their heads turned on occasion. People will have to pay an awful lot of money to entice some of them away. But it's nice for them to now know for certain that you can win in black and white.
You can indeed now. Success does breed success, or at least the potential for more success. So yeah, you know, you've got Newcastle United, a team that has silverware to the name and European football to come, and all of that, and players want to be associated and to be involved in that type of thing. This is a new world that you're going to have to get used to now, Aidan. You are part of a winning culture now, Aidan.
Oh, dearie me. Well, it doesn't sit right. It feels all wrong. I'm not used to it. I don't know how to handle it. I'm sure that's coming across loud and clear. I don't know how victory works or what I'm supposed to feel.
for those listening and that can't see Aidan at this point, it is in his resplendent Newcastle 1995-96 shirt as well. Is that he's just been shuffling around uncomfortably in his seat at the prospect of all this.
I don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, this has got vibes of those radio adverts where they put lottery winners on when they've just had confirmation that their ticket's kind of like being a winning one. This has got that those type of vibes to this.
What do I do? I don't know.
a flood of goodwill has come through on the TFT podcast chat WhatsApp group. Reese Richards, all podcasts on hiatus as a shirtless Aidan Williams scales Nelson's column, swinging champagne from Masters Sports Direct mug. I can send you that mug. You can smash it from the top of Nelson's column, Aidan.
It deserves nothing less.
Rob Fletcher, Middlesbrough fan. As much as it pains me to say it, well played, Aidan. What a memory to have. Gary Thacker, Chelsea fan. No offence, Stephen Scragg, but your boys have won dozens of trophies since the last time it's been celebrated. Plus, on the day, the best team won. Can't argue. A very ebullient Paul McParlam, who offered to be part of this this podcast. Sorry, Paul, I forgot to send the invite. and I suppose I could say that, you know, podcasts about cup finals aren't for Everton fans, are they, Aidan? Not at this point in time, anyway. Maybe David Moyes though is a manager of a winning culture. So maybe next season for Paul McParlam and Everton. Yeah, but he's turned around. Yeah, happy to be part of the League Cup review pod. Superb win, well done. Even better, no Anthony Gordon. Not that he's still got an axe to grind over the whole Anthony Gordon.
Not at all.
But he does say make Dan Burn the England captain. I didn't realise just how big of a monster he is.
Well, what a week for that guy. I mean, my God. A first England call up, age 33, on a Friday. 2 days later, scores Newcastle's first cup final goal since 1976. 49 years since we last scored a cup final goal. And he scores it with that superb header. He then plays out of his skin, man of the match award, and gets to lift a trophy for his boyhood club. Something that I think through most of what was a fairly journeyman career, it must have felt worlds away at times. But he is—he's a very good player, if not elite. I wouldn't ever say he was elite. You know, he's when he's jogging to get a throne or something, he looks like he's in agony and can barely move. And he's not the fastest, but he is. I mean, he's so big, and that helps. He's committed. He's excellent sense of positioning, excellent awareness, and you know. My God. I do have to say, though, it's not all down to his abilities today. At my daughter's school on Friday, ahead of this, they had, at lunchtime, they had Newcastle-themed lunches on the menu. And my daughter, Iris, she did have a Big Dan burger for her lunch on Friday. And I think she played as much a part in his goal as he did, I have to say.
I think the good people at Viz have even they wouldn't have kind of like thought that this was a realistic enough comic strip to put in their comic ahead of kind of like a football playing fish, for instance.
Well, quite. Oh, Ian, goodness me, goodness me. I don't know. What an incredible game. And the most remarkable thing, is it the most? No. The most remarkable thing is that we've actually won a trophy. The second most remarkable thing is that we were rarely troubled. And, you know, we talked the other night about how seemingly in finals, Newcastle come up against superb opposition. Teams who are on the crest of a wave, who are the best in the country. Liverpool still are, despite this. And how you're on a hiding to nothing. Almost. You'd have to be at your very best and you'd have to catch the opposition not quite at their very best. And that hadn't happened before. And, you know, it would have felt so familiar if that's the way it had played out again today. But no, Newcastle were rarely troubled. And that is incredible. There was the brief panic at the end, of course. But as we say, that was well controlled largely. You know, that last 6 or 7 minutes could have been awful. That was more than enough time for Liverpool to equalise. And if Liverpool had equalised, I don't doubt that you'd have gone on to win it in extra time, because we'd have just fallen off a cliff. And Mo Salah, was he even there? I have no idea. I barely even noticed him at all. He was barely mentioned, barely did anything. Whereas Livramento on that side, you constantly saw him nipping in ahead of people, raiding forwards as well, taking people on, getting the ball in. So, oh, goodness me. This is a victory against high-caliber opposition. But so utterly deserved, and that is astonishing.
It totally was. There was a hunger at play there that Liverpool couldn't match today. The more messages on the WhatsApp group. Dr. David Turner, first domestic trophy for an English coach in 17 years. Eddie Howe, you know, should have got the England job, according to Rob Fletcher.
That's not that.
Obviously, a Middlesbrough fan there wanting to quell the threat of St. James Park there. Yeah, we've got Matthew Gibbs, Birmingham City fan. Obviously, congrats, Aiden. Played Liverpool off the park. Thoroughly deserved. No arguments there at all. Yeah, everyone's just delighted for you, Aiden, and rightly so. Yeah, you know, like I say, it's this first success. You know, you drink it in, because it'll be the most, I don't know, electrically charged one. You know, of the lot, no matter what. Is or isn't to come. This is the one that you'll always be the benchmark for, your own.
Well, this is just it. It's all those years, my entire life and beyond, all those years, all those disappointment, the occasional flirtations with success, and they are occasional, you know, with actual tangible shiny glory. We've gone close a few times and it's never happened. Like, it's brief moments of hope. And they're always dashed, always extinguished, always beaten. And the hopes almost felt like they were snatched away before they'd even had a chance to flourish at times. You know, they were just disappointed again and again and again. Not just even the finals we'd reached, but where we'd got to quarterfinals and you start to dare to think of things and it all just disappears and melts away. We'll not even go into the league title that could have been. And one day, I guess it surely had to end, and yet you still never actually believe that it could, that one day would come. And I still can't believe that today, this day as we're speaking, today was that day. at Wembley against Liverpool, against the best team in the country and beyond this season. And we were the better team on the day. That is still astonishing. We've only actually gone and won. That's the most un-Newcastle thing. And it's happened today. Today of all days. 56 years on from a last major trophy. 70 years from a domestic trophy. All those teams on that list reduced to none. It ended today. Like today. I cannot believe it.
And you know what, Aidan, there's still over 2.5 hours of today to enjoy as well. As we
I could watch it all again.
You've got time to watch it all again. Absolutely. Over on Twitter, Chelsea legacy fan Martin Wickham states that, yeah, a special shout out for Gary Neville, thinking there were pubs in Newcastle that hadn't opened today.
Well, on this, and here's where a lot of superstition comes in. Me and my boy Elliot, we went into town earlier on because he wanted to go to St. James's. He wanted to go to the stadium and just have a wander around and soak things in a bit. And this was, well, what time we were there? It was still the morning. It was about 11:30. And we were approaching the stadium then. All we could hear was the roars and shouts and chants from nearby bars. There's a stack, one of those sort of crate built fan zone areas just outside St. James's. And that was absolutely heaving. There were queues, massive queues outside trying to get in. And you could just hear the noise from inside. And this was still in the morning. We went past the Strawberry Pub, the famous Strawberry Pub that anyone who's visited St. James's, I'm sure, knows exactly what I'm referring to there. And that was absolutely bursting at the seams as we came past at 11:30. We saw the statues of Sir Bobby Robson and Alan Shearer, both with Newcastle. Well, there were flags actually wrapped up as though they were scarves around their neck. There were so many people there even then. And just the thought that, well, my son, he wanted to, you know, soak a bit of it up and enjoy it. And as he said, as we're walking away from there, it's like, it doesn't even matter how it went. It's still been a good day, because he knew the odds were that we weren't going to win, even at his young age. And yet it's happened. But now, of course, because that's what we did today, if we get to another final, he's going to insist that that's what happens again. We're going to have to repeat all of the things we did today another time. But that's beautiful how these things, how you generate superstition that way. I love it. I've taught him well, I think. Well, as much as the emotion, we talked about how the emotion was less for the team overall as it had been before, but that probably doesn't quite apply to all of the fans in the same way. There were lots of pictures of Covent Garden in a right state yesterday, whereas I know we talked about how much it might mean to Newcastle versus how much it might mean to a Liverpool fan. I don't think Liverpool fans were doing quite the same thing yesterday and last night and all day over the weekend, because it's more of a regular occurrence. And maybe if it becomes a regular occurrence for Newcastle, we'll lose something in that regard. But it was special. It was special. And then to top it all, I love a sporting montage at the end of a TV production. You know, the beautiful images you get at the end of a World Cup or whenever England have been knocked out of something, you usually get a nice montage as well. And they're always sad. Those at the end of a World Cup are usually sadness and a bit of happiness thrown in, because you get the joy of the victors. And they're always beautifully done. I think the people who make those are superb. I love them. This one tonight, to the sound of Jimmy Nail singing Big River, which is, well, you know, Jimmy Nail is Jimmy Nail. And it interspersed moments from today with some of the pain of the past. For example, showing Alan Shearer collecting runners-up medals and then showing him leaping around in the stands today, some of the disappointment from 2 years ago and the same players today. It was beautiful. We had to rewind it and watch it again, I have to say. But, oh, it was lovely. And I think I will be revisiting the events of today a few times over the next few days.
Well, I'm fully expecting a book to be started before the end of the week. and Big River's as good of a name as any for it, without a shadow of a doubt. Aidan, hard to say it's been a joy, but it has been a joy.
Well, I have to say, Stephen, you've been superbly magnanimous. I probably wouldn't have been as magnanimous had we lost, although I would have expected it. But yes, you've been thoroughly, thoroughly superb about it. So thank you.
No, I'd say of all cup final defeats that I've experienced, you know, people are bandying out kind of like worst cup final performance by Liverpool since '88 and all this type of stuff. And yeah, I think I mentioned it on the WhatsApp group, was that, you know, it's defeat with good vibes, I think is the way because one of my very best friends is just having the time of his life today. And that is just wonderful to see. My team's lost a cup final today with a smile on my face. It's not. Aidan, enjoy the rest of your evening. There's still just under 2.5 hours to go. Plenty of time to fit in another viewing of the final, if you so wish. Raise another glass or two and just take it easy this week.
Well, the extra bonus I get tomorrow, I have to go to my office, but there are a few Sunderland fans there. That would be nice.
Even better. Fantastic.
Yes, my office is in the disputed territory of South Shields, you see, where it's not all black and white. It's actually closer to Sunderland. So yeah, that would be nice.
It kind of meshes a little bit. I know the type of areas. One last thing. Please do not refer to yourselves as being League Cup champions. No one winning a domestic cup is the champions of a cup. You're the cup holder, Zane. You are for the remainder of this season the League Cup winners. Next season, when you go back into it, you are the League Cup holders. Yeah. So terminology. We're 80s kids. No team being declared the cup champions back then, apart from the European Cup that was allowed. But no other
competition. I need these pointers. I have no experience of such things.
do correct people as you go along and say, no, what we are as your collective is up until a ball is kicked in anger next season, you are the League Cup winners, Aidan. And next season you will be the League Cup holders. You know, that's who you are, Aidan. Newcastle United, and it's fully deserved.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. I'm amazed that I've managed to speak coherently-ish. Well, other people can judge if it's coherent or not, but I've been able to speak about it properly for 45 minutes now, which is more than I thought I would manage under the circumstances, because I feel like I ought to be lost for words. It is absolutely astonishing, and I cannot believe it's happened still.
Excellent. There's Aidan Williams, my one of my very best friends, and that is his testament to Newcastle United's success today. To listen back to as often as he wishes, and all that leaves me to do is say thank you for listening. Please do join us again another time on These Football Times myriad of podcasts. Yeah.
And the ball sails goalwards. Milburn heads and it's a goal. A beautifully timed header. And within 1 minute from the start, Newcastle are one up. In the hands of the Queen, the Cup, the most coveted trophy of them all, as Scala leads his 3-1 winners up to the Royal Box. A great moment for the Newcastle fans.
So it's Bobby Moncur, the captain of Newcastle United, receiving the Intercity Fairs Cup and showing it to the fans. And the Hungarian fans are cheering as much as the few Tyneside fans. Ian McFall getting his medal. Jackie Sinclair. Wynne Davis. Ben Arentoff, the Dane. Jim Scott, Ollie Burton, Brian Robson, Frank Clark, the two local boys, Alan Foggan, the young 19-year-old who scored that third goal, John McNamee, who didn't get on but was a substitute. And so, Newcastle United, by 6-2, have won the Intercity Fairs Cup of 1969.
Trippier with drift. In goes Byrne! Mento lifted it in, and Murphy is back. Stick in! Oh! Now they're believing! The Geordie Nation euphoric! It just might be happening! Joe Linton. At last! At long, long last! Newcastle United are winners! The Geordie Nation has its hands on a trophy!
Oh, me lads, you should have seen us get it. Oh my God, Stephen. What a day.